Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Among the candidates in last weekend's Mount Albert by-election was one more colourful than the others. That was the Aotearoa Legalised Cannabis Party's Dacta Green. And he did all right. He's with us now to explain what he does and why. So, Dacta, welcome.
Thank you very much.
How was your Mount Albert campaign?
I was very pleased with the outcome in Mount Albert. We seriously didn't expect to win Mount Albert. It was about...
Neither did National, to be fair, so...
That's true. But it was about spreading our message, and I think that we probably got very good coverage. The election result, well, two-thirds of the voters turned out this election for the by-election and compared to the general election.
Well, don't talk yourself down too much. You did get more votes than Judy Turner representing a party that's in Parliament.
I think that's actually more important than what you might think. United Future had an immoral agreement with the last two Labor governments for the last 6 years that there would be no cannabis law reform. And for the Legalised Cannabis Party to outpoll the United Future, I think, tells the population heaps.
I think he also makes a good argument that next time there's a debate on, such as the debate that we had in Mount Albert just beforehand, that you should be there rather than Judy Turner.
I think that's a fair comment too. Thank you very much.
Well, it does always seem, though, that cannabis law reform is just around the corner. It never quite happens. I can recall writing a story in, 1992, saying surely this must be resolved soon. Do you ever lose hope?
Well, I'm relatively new to the cannabis culture and relatively new to the law reform movement. So I wasn't actually around during the earlier push when everybody was talking about it's around the corner, it's close. But this time, I actually think that we are close. With the internet connections and the people that we talk to around the world, I think it's fair to say that the population, the general population, have seen through the bullshit that members of parliament, politicians have presented to the public. They don't have an answer for the question, why do you lock us up for cannabis? So I think the people are responding. You're seeing that particularly in America. And it is America, let's not fool ourselves, it is America that dictates cannabis policy around the world. For any country to legalise cannabis as it should be would bring a great deal of pressure on the federal government of the United States. And it's the federal government policy that there is no medical purpose for cannabis that keeps it on their seriously bad list, along with heroin and other A-class drugs.
Very different story in somewhere like California, though, isn't it?
Well, it is different in California, and in fact there are 14 states and more coming on every month, as it seems, that are moving to medical marijuana. But California being the first to legalise cannabis for medicinal purposes, they're also likely to be the first to legalise it for consenting adults, and I think that's the major push that's going on right now.
Which of the, there are various strands of arguments for legalising marijuana. I mean, the libertarians, for example, say, well, everyone should be entitled to do what they want. Mm-hmm. The Greens have more of a, this is a health issue rather mm-hmm. than a criminal issue. I mean, where would you fit in that?
I think that they're all valid arguments, but after you've been to jail for cultivating a few plants and you spend some time studying the local laws and the international laws that control cannabis, you end up begging the question, why did I get locked up? The day before the last general election, I happened to be in Wellington driving Mary Jane our cannabis, the normal cannabis. And the day before the election, I visited Peter Dunn from United Future. He wasn't in, but I did get the official result. And I asked the question, I've just recently done some time for cannabis. Could you tell me why I did that? I didn't think I'd have to explain, please don't tell me it was because I broke the law, but that was the first thing out of the spokesman's mouth, you broke the law. I said, okay, I broke the law. Now tell me, why do we have that law in place? And all he could tell me was that there is some evidence of health problems. And I think that's sick. I think it's sick that we'd lock up our fellow citizens, our friends, our neighbours, our brothers, our uncles, our aunties, relatives, and why do we do that? Why do we lock them up for cannabis? We all know somebody that enjoys a toke, and we don't think they're bad people. You know, it's a little bit like back in the 80s when we started talking about homosexual law reform as a community. And I was just one of those masses that thought, I don't want to talk about that. But my dad and I did talk about that one time, and my father said to me, well, who cares what they do in their privacy of their own home, son, as long as they don't make it compulsory? I thought, yeah, that pretty much sums up a pretty good sort of an argument. Nobody's asking anybody to make cannabis compulsory. Although on a light note, I might say that I think cannabis should be legal from the age of 18, and I think it should be compulsory from the age of 60. I think there would be a hell of a lot more interaction between young people and older people if that was to be the case. But it makes as much sense to make it compulsory from the age of 60 as it does to make it illegal for any age.
Let's be clear on what you're proposing. Fully legal from the age of 18. Are you proposing it should be taxed?
Yes, of course it should be taxed, but not taxed to the point that to anything like the rate as alcohol. It should be taxed according to the harm done to the community. And at the moment, anybody be hard-pressed to find a great deal of harm that cannabis might cause in the community.
There are some communities, though, especially where cannabis is prevalent amongst children, that people say, well, actually, this does have an impact on our children. It affects their motivation, it affects their schoolwork, all these sorts of things.
No question.
And hence why you're saying make it available to the age of 18. We've seen from drinking laws that simply doesn't work.
Well, the only way a child can get a an alcoholic drink at the moment is through an adult.
Well, they can walk into a shop and when they're 14 looking like they're 18 and still get one, or they could,
and the retailer breaks the law. Now, we actually want to take it a little further. We think cannabis should be legally available through our own licensed premises. We think that people in the cannabis culture should be allowed to establish daiquiris in communities around the country. We've built our daiquiri in New Lynn as an example of what could be situated all over the country in light industrial areas, places like the daiquiri that are owned and operated by community trusts that would be able to license growers to supply their local needs. It's a cottage industry that we're looking to create here, and take it out of the hands of the people that are unlicensed. You know, you can go into a dairy which is licensed to sell tobacco, but you can't go into anywhere to buy a joint except into unlicensed premises that we call tinny houses. Why do we do that? Why do we allow that to happen? So if we put adult products into a place where adults can access it, it's not going to send the wrong message to children. We tell children all the time, these things are for adults to do. I don't see a problem with that.
So what happens when an adult gets nice and high at the daiquiri and then decides they're going to drive home and maybe they shouldn't be driving home in that state?
We do not recommend that anybody operate machinery if they're intoxicated by any substance. I don't want to be driving out on the highway and have some drunk run into me and smash my car or kill me or worse.
I don't want to be stuck on the motorway behind someone who's driving 30 because they're stoned.
Okay. Maybe we need slow lanes for the stoners to get home.
But you've been very probably more visible than just about any marijuana campaigner I can think of in New Zealand. We saw you at the Mount Albert by-election special TV show that we did the other week, you know, standing up there, smoking a joint in full public, yelling out, throwing joints around. I mean, do you think that sort of visibility could also damage the credibility of your movement?
I think it's by me being out there, if you will, along with many other people. During the last 18 months, I've driven Mary Jane, our cannabis, all over the country. We've been to North Cape, to Cape Reinga, and we've been to Bluff, and everywhere in between. We travelled almost 13,000 kilometres in a 12-month period. And in all of the towns that we visited, we openly made noise, and as part of our civil disobedience and protest against these laws, we smoked cannabis in public. I mean, the most high-profile place we did that was in Parliament grounds. On the 11th of April last year, 60 people gathered in Parliament grounds and lit pipes, bongs, joints, and a monster sniff ball. And smoke was wafting downwind, of course, which is usually the way it goes when you're stoned. But who was downwind except police officers and security guards who took no interest at all? Why can we do that? 60 people can gather in Parliament grounds and we can blatantly break the law? Now, what we're doing it for is to draw the public attention. Everybody thought back in the 90s, early 90s, that cannabis law reform was around the corner, and now nobody wants to take it on. The change hasn't happened. We don't have sensible licensing laws for cannabis. And so what do we have to do in order to get back into the mainstream thinking? So I thought driving a bus around the country was pretty cool. And you know how much opposition we got? Zilch. Zero. Of the thousands and thousands of people that I've smoked cannabis with over the last 18 months all over the country, I could count on the fingers of my hands the number of people that have come up to me and voiced objection. And out of those, when I explained that we just want to not be locked up in jail, then they agreed with that. Well, two exceptions. I had a drug counsellor that thinks that locking people up in jail for cannabis is a good idea. But then, you know, vested interest perhaps.
Yes. Well, we have run out of time, but thank you very much. Maybe we'll talk to you again and see how the progress of it's going. But Dr. Green, thank you for your time and good luck.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Dr. Green there. After the break, Cam Calder, new MP, and Czech's new album.